Good day. Welcome to the Guardians of the Holy Grail with Mark Amaru Pinkham. This program will explore the secrets behind the Knights Templar and other secret mysteries of the world today. Now, here's your host, Mark Amaru Pinkham.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Guardians of the Holy Grail, the program dedicated to diving deep to uncover and expose the truth behind the Knights Templar, the Holy Grail, secret societies, and many of the ancient occult and esoteric mysteries. My name is Mark Amaru Pinkham. I'm a Knight Templar of the International Order of Gnostic Templars that was founded to revive the esoteric mysteries and rites of the original Templars. At our Templar website, which you can visit at www.gnostictemplars.org, you can sign our mailing list and receive our monthly e-newsletter. You can also become an associate member, and you can even download an application to become a full initiated member if you'd like. You'll find there are also books at our website that you can buy through our web store that will fully explain the path of the Gnostic Templar. We've got books, we've got courses, we've got all kinds of good stuff there. Now, during today's show, if you would like to call in with questions for our guests, please call toll-free at 888-627-6008. Now, before beginning today's interview, I would like to mention some important events that are occurring next spring that will be sponsored by my temple organization, the IOGT, as well as another organization I'm a member of that's called the Imperial and Royal Dragon Court. And its headquarters is currently in Wales. Now, on the weekend of March 23rd through the 25th of next year, we're going to have our annual IOGT meeting and accolades ceremony here in Sedona, Arizona. During that weekend, there's going to be presentations by myself and some of the other members of our organization. And these will be followed by a chance to become a member of the IOGT. Or if you're a member, this will be a chance to receive an advanced accolade if you're ready to do so. Now, those of you interested in becoming members of the IOGT can right away, you can download an application from our website, which again is www.gnostictemplars.org. You can download an application, then you can email it right back to us. We do ask that all applications be submitted at the latest by the end of January of next year, January 2012. Now, this annual IOGT meeting will be followed in the next weekend by a very special conference. This will be the first annual International Dragon Conference and IRDC Summit. This will occur on the weekend of March 30th through April 1st in 2012, which many of you might know, according to the Chinese calendar, is the official year of the dragon. The special location of the conference will, of course, be Sedona, Arizona, the land of the dragon, really, land of the serpent power in the American Southwest. Now, we have a few speakers already lined up. There'll be more to be added to this list. We have Prince Nicholas Devere, who's the sovereign head of the Imperial and Royal Dragon Court, who's going to be coming over from Wales, especially for the conference. We have myself. We also have Freda Corvus. He's a grandmaster of the Illuminati and the OTO. We have our speaker, our guest today, Mirza Ismail. He's a Yazidi leader in Ontario, Canada. Now, the goal of the Dragon Conference will be to create an alliance between the various dragon mystery schools, traditions, and dragon families that have that are separated and divided around the world. The proposed new Universal Dragon Alliance that will come out of this conference will serve as a medium for the exchange and sharing of the ancient dragon mysteries. And we hope to compile these dragon mysteries and distill them to produce a kind of a coherent set of dragon teachings that can be understood and freely disseminated to the masses, to the public. Our teachings over the centuries, over the millennia, have been greatly distorted, and so we want to correct this situation. Now, during the conference, we have a special event. There's going to be initiation into the most ancient order of the Peacock Angel, and this is going to be overseen by our guest today, Mirza Ismail. The Peacock Angel Mysteries are the oldest dragon mysteries that are known of on Earth. Following this special initiation, Sedona is going to become one of the official locations in the West for the Peacock Angel Mysteries. Now, through this order, most ancient order of the Peacock Angel, we are going to be teaching all the members the mysteries of the Peacock Angel, as well as the true history and culture of the Azetis, which also has been greatly distorted over the years. Now, to learn more about this Dragon Conference and to get on our mailing list for the event, you can email me at GnosticTemplars@AOL.com. GnosticTemplars@AOL.com. Okay, so for today's interview, as I mentioned, our guest is Mirza Ismail. This is actually the third time Mirza has been on the Guardians of the Holy Grail. He's a Yazeti leader from London, Ontario, in Canada. And he's been involved with a lot of work to alert the world to the plight of the Azetis and also to assist his people back in Iraq in gaining their human rights and the privileges they deserve. As you will hear, the Azetis are now under a great threat of genocide, of a complete extermination from Muslim terrorists in Iraq. And this could occur if the U.S. Withdrawal of its forces occurs as planned at the end of this year, because they have been protecting the Azetis over there. Now, those of you who have listened to our previous program broadcast know that Mirza is the co-founder of the Azeti Community Center in London, Ontario. And in 2009, he founded the Azeti Human Rights Organization International. This is a very important organization that's working to gain Azeti human rights around the world. And I encourage you all to learn more about it, which you can do by going to its website, which is www.azetihumanrights.org. Again, it's www.azetihumanrights.org. So let's get to our interview now. Greetings, Mirza. Welcome back again to the Guardians of Holy Grail.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you for having me on your show.
You're very welcome. Well, Mirza, you recently introduced me to one of your Yazeti teachers living in Iraq, the fakir named Gamal, who obviously has been very gifted by the Peacock Angel with special wisdom about the Azetis. So to start this interview, I'd like to begin asking some questions about the Azetis that Gamal has given you the answers to. So to start with, can you tell me approximately how old the Azetis are, as far as you know?
Well, Sir Mark, the years is what we believe. The history goes back as far as since the creation of human being, so which would be like millions of years old.
Okay.
And that shows like when God created the seven angels, and we are the people of Malek Tawis, the peacock angel. So we believe since then, like our name is sometimes called Yazidi. But original pronunciation is Azdai, which is from the word of Malek Tawis. When God created him, he said he was created and God is a creator. So the Asdai name is came on as from Malek Taus.
Which is don't you consider yourself more ancient than most of the races on Earth? Weren't you one of the first races that was created?
Yeah, that's what we believe. The Yazidis. And we believe we are the oldest ancient people on the Earth.
Has Gamal talked to you about from where the peacock angel came from, or where the seven archangels came from?
Well, yeah, the seven archangels, we believe, in our verses, was created by God from God's own light. We have 7 days in a week, and each one was created by God in one day. So that's why in our, when we call Sunday, that means the day number one, and then Monday is the day number two, until the 7th day was finished. That's why we have 7 days in a week now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you, from what I understand, it said that the Yazidis were created in the Garden of Eden. So where do you place the Garden of Eden?
Yeah, the Garden of Eden is in Lalish.
In Lalish. Well, yeah. That was the place that the peacock angel first arrived when he spread
and
his colors
around
the planet.
The Adam body was created in Lalish as well. They brought soil from the four corners of the earth and with the white water of Lalish.
Hmm. Well, do you have a Lalish, by the way, to the audience, is the name of their most sacred shrine for the Yazidis. It's in northern Iraq today. Are there actually indications in Lalish that there has been human occupation in that area that goes back many thousands of years ago?
Yes, but after the Muslim people came, Lalish has been like the temple and the area has been destroyed several times.
I see.
We have lost all the writings there.
Well, do you know in your records what was originally there before the Muslims destroyed it?
Yes, we do.
Can you tell me what was there before?
Well, Lalish is one of the holiest places, we believe, on the earth. We believe first time Lalish was created on earth, as in our understanding, like the meaning of Lalish is the holy place on the earth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so were there buildings there that the Muslims destroyed? Were there
yes,
temples
there was
there?
A building, and during the Ottoman Empire, there were like huge temples. During the Ottoman Empire, the temples were destroyed many times. Mm. We tried to rebuild them, and then the second attack, as you may know, we have been attacked by now 73 times now. And each attack was kind of totally to exterminate the Yazidis from that original land.
Well, I sent you the website of Göbekli Tepe, which is a new archaeological discovery in Turkey, that people, archaeologists, are calling the most ancient of all settlements on the planet, well, that have been discovered today. Now, do you believe that the Yazidis may have built Göbekli Tepe? It is very close to Lalish.
Yes, because like in 1914, during the Ottoman attack, like the genocide against the Armenian and the Yazidian killed all Syrian. My grandfather came from that region, from Şanlı Urfa, which is only about 15 kilometers from Göbekli Tepe.
So this Göbekli Tepe then has been an area where the Yazidis have been living for a long time.
Yes, for probably millions of years.
Do you, from the pictures of Göbekli Tepe, do you recognize any of the images that have been carved into the stone pillars?
Yeah, that's most of the art is like was Yazidi art, like those the picture of the animals and the gravestones. Yes.
So as far as you're concerned, you believe that the Uzedis built Göbekli Tepe?
Yes.
Okay. Well, just to let the audience know, by the way, the sacred travel company that I work with, Sacred Sites Journeys, is leading a tour to Turkey and Göbekli Tepe next April. If you're interested, you can go to www.sacredsitesjourneys.com and read about the tour and also register if you are indeed interested.
Would you be going there?
My intention is to be part of that tour and visit there. Yes, definitely.
Okay, so I will try my best to be with you.
Okay, excellent. I'll hold you to that.
Okay.
Okay. So after the Uzedis were created in Leilish, they migrated to different parts of the world. Can you tell me where they migrated to?
Yes, India, Yemen, Morocco, Algeria, and Greater Mesopotamia, which is today called like Iran, Turkey, Syria, Lebanon, Iraq.
Okay, so they migrated all over Asia and North Africa.
And Afghanistan, and most of the fakir came from Afghanistan, from Kandahar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. During the until now, like which we used to be called, like we call them holy fakir. They were very special in Kandahar.
Are they still living there in Kandahar?
And no, because of the Islamic attack, can probably millions of them got killed, forced conversion, and a very small number emigrated back to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the fakir in Iraq originally are from Kandahar.
So but there's a very big population, you told me, of Uzedis living in India, but they're called something else. What are they called in India?
Yeah, in India, they call Adawi.
The Adawi.
Yeah, the Adawi. And they have the same like level of caste as we do, Adani, Katani, Pirani, and Mrit.
And they also worship the peacock angel?
Yes, there are about 6 to 7 million Adawi live in India now, all over India.
They're all over it. They're scattered all over India.
Yeah, I have one of my friend's colleague, almost he visit there like on a yearly basis, and he meet with them, and they're very interesting, and it's exactly same the Yazidis in Iraq. They have fakir, they have sheikh, they have peer, they have mrit.
So apparently a lot of Yazidis migrated to India, and then they came back to Iraq. One of my teachers in Lincoln, Nebraska, the Fakir Kawal Hassan, he told me that he and his family migrated from India to Iraq.
Yeah, that may be. And especially most of the Pirani came from India.
Oh, really? Okay.
They emigrated to India. And then after the Islam got into India, and then they attacked them, many of them came back to Iraq again.
Well, typically the people in India that worship the peacock, they also worship Murugan, the son of Shiva Shakti, or known as Sanat Kumara. So I would guess that they were probably also worshippers of him.
Yes.
The Samjaks, you know, the images of the peacock angel that are very sacred to the Yazidis, they look exactly like arati lamps that are used in the cult of Sanat Kumara Murugan in India. But you told me that they have a different origin. Where did the Samjaks come from?
Well, there are like what we believe there are 366 sanjaks, and the seven, each was named by one of the archangels. The seven are the holiest one. They used to travel among the Yazidis when the Yazidis were a greater in number in whole Middle East area and North Africa and to India.
And these samjaks were created by the angels, right?
Yes, the seven and the sanjak, the holy sanjak, were not created by human being, but were created by angels.
And how many are left now of these very sacred samjaks?
We have two left, and it's very hard for us, and because now we live in the 21st century, where there's United Nations and other international communities such as Greater U.S. and Britain and France, but unfortunately they have not been able to protect the Yazidis from the terrorist organization.
Mm-hmm. So the Samjaks, have they existed since the time of the Garden of Eden?
Yes.
So since obviously
since the creation of a human being and since the creation of the Yazidis. So those Sanjaks travel among the Yazidis. They teach religious to the Yazidi people. And also they gather donation, and that donation would be divided among the poor people.
I see. So during the year, are the Samjaks, are they kept at Leilish?
Yes. Before, all seven were like traveling, and then they would come and kept it in Leilish. But after the many attacks, they stayed in different places because of the safety of the Samjaks. Mm. And even though after the many attacks against the Yazidis, we have lost many.
Well, the Samjaks are taken around to the different Yazidi communities by the Kowals, right? The chanters, right? Aren't you part of that particular caste?
Yes, we are from the Kowals. We are part of the Kowals. Like, my family is a part of the Kowals.
Right, right. So what do they chant when they take the Samjaks around? What are these chants that they do?
They it's almost about everything, from the creation of the universe to the creation of the angels, and teach people how to be good, to do good deed, to be honest with their kind friends and family and others. So it's a great chanting.
Mm-hmm.
That's how people get like. Could live in peace and freedom, no matter like what the background of the person is, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Hindus, etc.
So these chants, are they very ancient? Do they go back to the Garden of Eden?
Yes.
Well, I'm hoping that you can teach us some of these for the most ancient order of the Peacock Angel that we're going to be starting next March. So.
Hopefully.
Well, okay, let's see. Well, how many Yazidis are living in the world now, and what countries do they live in?
Well, there is, like, mainly there are Yazidis in living in Iraq, in Syria. In Turkey was the largest number, but unfortunately in Turkey they have been mostly exterminated, and probably some about 5,000 maybe member left in Turkey, and mostly emigrated to Europe and mainly Germany. And also there are Yazidis in Algeria, in Morocco, in Sudan, but in Tunisia. But unfortunately, the Yazidis in Sudan and Algeria and Morocco are unable to identify themselves as Yazidi because of the Muslim attacks. They try to keep secret so that they can survive.
Right. Well, the Yazidis that have left Iraq and are living in Western countries, are they happy in Germany and the United States, or do they want to eventually go back to Iraq?
Well, I don't think like any human being want to lose their history. Like the history of the Yazidis are the greatest history in, we believe, in the world. From the ancient time, which goes back millions of years during the creation of human being until now. So we don't want to leave our geographical area. But of course, now we are happy because we can sleep safely, we can work safely, and we can have no discrimination against us in the Western world. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we hope that the Western world could help us to create at least a smaller geographical area for the Yazidi so that we can survive in peace and freedom under the protection of the Western community and United Nations.
Well, the Yazidis have been under attack by Muslim terrorists since the beginning of Islam. Perhaps you'd like to tell everybody the reason why the Yazidis have been under attack.
Well, like, the Yazidis have been under attack. Not only the Yazidis. At the same time, there were many ancient people, such as Kildo Assyrian, Sabian, Kakais, Zoroastrian, living in the greater Mesopotamia. We all got attacked by Muslims, not only the Yazidis. But the Yazidis, because we were very different in faith, as you know, that the Kildo Assyrian accepted Christianity, so they were much better off than the Yazidis. As the Yazidis, we believe that God created us and we are happy with God's gift. So we didn't want to convert or change our faith. We wanted to stay as God created us. We don't think anybody knows better than God does. So God could create us any way he wanted. But he created us Yazidi, and we are very, very proud, and we are very happy with God's gift. Unfortunately, after the Islam were introduced to the world, as one of their principles, they say we have to create a world as a Muslim world. So they attacked all non-Muslim people. They said everybody must be Muslims. So we can't have only one world and one religion and one ethnic people living in. For that reason, the Yazidis greatly suffered under the Islamic attack, which we believe until now, 73 extermination attacks came against the Yazidis. And it's very clear now to the Yazidis and to the whole world that the Yazidis are being mostly exterminated from the world, and especially from our ancient geographical area, which goes back millions of years.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently the Muslims have the wrong idea about who the peacock angel is, what the peacock angel is, and that seems to be part of the problem.
Yeah, that's the part of the problem, but the problem, I think, human beings have knowledge, and then we don't think God would create any bad thing from his own light, Mark.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We think God knows the best.
Well,
nobody knows more than God does. So
right.
We believe that the conversion or the attacks is against the Yazidis and to exterminate the Yazidis. But at the same time, we believe the conversion against the God's will. Because God could create us any way he wanted. So he created us CSD, so we are happy with. So why the Muslims are not happy with God's work, we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure that your prophets and your priests and the fakirs, they are communicating with the peacock angel. Doesn't he oftentimes he exists just above Leilish? He holds a court there?
Yes, and those people mostly are Armrit, who are communicating with the peacock angel, and they are gifted, like Fakir Kamal. Mm-hmm. They are gifted. So well, not everybody can communicate, but there are certain people, they are being gifted sometimes when they are in their sleep, sometimes when they are praying, they are being gifted. And sometimes I have a friend, he was gifted, and he was in a school. And he was gifted, says, okay, leave school, I'm going to give you a better knowledge and understanding, and you can understand many other things much better than school mm-hmm. you learn at. So fortunately, after that, he could speak different languages, and he could communicate with Peacock Angel.
Does the Peacock Angel has been appearing to me personally for 10 years or so. And how he manifests is, all of a sudden I'll be surrounded by peacock feathers and peacocks, and he will communicate to me intuitively. How does he manifest to other fakirs and other people that he communicates with? Are there different ways that he appears to them?
There are different ways, but the most the way is same thing in the Peacock Forum.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, there are different ways of communicating and seeing, like people see his image when they are gifted, and many of those people who are gifted, sometime probably more than 10 people, 20 people, 30 people, 200 people, we could go. If I have, for example, if I have a problem, whether it's physical problem, whether it's mental problem, so we go to that person, probably 100 or less, sitting in one room, just you're going to say, like, okay, I have a problem. You don't mention your problem, and that gifted person would go, probably close his eyes in about 2-3 minutes, and then would come back and answer the question for all, like, people sitting there. Mm. That's a very amazing thing, those gifted people, those gifted GSDs have, and how they communicate with Peacock Angel and how they receive the answer for the needed people.
Well, he appears to me as peacocks. Is that typically the way he appears to
yes.
these gifted prophets? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'm wondering, has the peacock communicated to the prophets, to these gifted people, why it is that the Yazidis have undergone so much torture for so many hundreds and thousands of years, and is this going to change? Is things going to get better for the Yazidis and the
yeah,
coming?
The things going to get better, but it's not time yet, and we get those all attacks because of the peacock angel. So we are the Peacock Angel people, and the Islams are against that. So the Islam non-Peacock Angel as evil.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Far away from the truth.
Do you feel that the Peacock Angel is protecting you during these times that you're under attack?
Yes. Yes. And the other problem, like, for example, now at the present time, we are in a very conflict time, and the people, the Yazidis people are being tested. So whether, like, during this test, who's going to pass and who's not going to pass. So for those who have very strong faith in Peacock will be saved, and for those who want to change, to survive, and says, okay, among other people, does not identify himself, herself as a Yazidis, we believe those not going to be protected, because Peacock Angel tell us, like, to tell the truth, to defend the truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that what needs to happen for you to be safe and for the destruction and the murders to stop is that people on the planet, especially Muslims, they can be educated about the truth about the Yazidis and truth about the Peacock Angel, which is why I created the website www.yaziditruth.org, so people could understand about the peacock angel. But what I find is that most people on Earth, they don't understand the Azedis. They don't understand the peacock angel. Otherwise, I think that they would help you out more, but they just don't understand it. And I think that that's the biggest problem you're up against right now. People don't understand the Azedis, and they don't understand the peacock angel.
That's right, because like in the kind of last few centuries, especially since the Islam became a very like superpower in the Middle Eastern region, so they spread the Yazidis region in a very bad way. So that's why most of the Western world, they don't know anything about the Yazidis, because the Yazidis were not able to identify themselves. They were not able to do any traditional event or any cultural event, any school, any teaching in Middle East until today. So if there's no history book or something that you can learn about the Yazidis, of course you're not going to know a lot about the Yazidis. And even though like the U.S., UN, Great Britain, France, most of the Western government today in Iraq, even that, they don't give the Yazidis equal rights in Iraq.
Well, what you're really fearful right now, and your people, the Azedis, are scared of, is the withdrawal of U.S. forces at the end of this year. What do you think is going to happen when the U.S. forces completely withdraw from Iraq?
Well, despite the U.S. troops there, the Yazidis are being attacked almost on a weekly or monthly basis. As you know, of the news was going on against the Yazidis. So, of course, when the U.S. withdraw, probably the Yazidis is going to be tortured, exterminated, conversion, forced conversion by both, whether KRG or whether central government. The both governments, unfortunately, they support the terrorist organization against the Yazidis. And nobody is telling them why are they doing that, especially when U.S. invaded Iraq. They say we're going to liberate all Iraqi people. They did not say we're going to liberate Kurdish people or Arab people, Sunni or Shia. The minority ethnic and religious group greatly suffered, not only the Yazidis, at the same time the Kildo-Assyrian and the Sabian, they greatly suffered. They're being killed on a weekly, monthly basis. Nobody is trying to do anything to protect an ancient ethnic and religious minority in Iraq today.
Mm-hmm.
So how about when they withdraw, what's going to happen to us? Probably it's going to be a total extermination of the minority religious and ethnic group, including the Yazidis.
But your prophets and Melek Taos, the peacock angel, what do they say about your future? Do they say that the Azedis are going to survive?
Yes, and we know that we will survive. We know that. Despite all the attacks against us, the Azedis will survive and will have a great future history. And they will be very proud of what they are. We know like every 2,000 or 3,000 years, something happened in the world and then must start from the beginning again. So we will survive and we will have a great power again in an area.
Well, I know that you told me you had planned to go to back to Iraq in October, but you had to change your plans. Why did you have to change your plans and not go?
Yes, because of my human rights activities. I received a death threat from the KRG. So if I go back, no matter take me, so I will be killed.
Right, okay. Well, you were going to be coming back with Gamal, right? And, I mean, he's called me a few times to talk to me about this, that he was going to come to the States, and hopefully he would be going to Washington to talk to some of the the representatives and possibly the United Nations.
Yeah, that was one what was our plan, but unfortunately that didn't work, and we don't know how long it'll take. And the second, we don't know why is U.S. supporting the minority, especially against the Yazidis. Mm-hmm. Because the U.S. troops there, they know the Yazidis are being attacked by Kurdish. They know the Kurdish official and Kurdish and its militia are supporting the terrorist organization against the Yazidis. And most of those attacks are partnered with the KRG. And the U.S. know that very well. But we don't know why are they supporting. They're still supporting them.
So even though the Americans are still in Iraq, they're not really protecting you as well as they could, right? They're not protecting the Yazidis.
Yeah, because that's what the U.S. is like. Many times I asked many officials of the U.S. From to other officials, like administration officials, and they say that, Mirza, do you think we can do protect all the non-Muslim minorities in Iraq, or do you think we can do anything? We cannot do what you want, but how they could do remove Saddam Hussein and then bring Barzani and Talabani on power? Are Barzani and Talabani stronger than Saddam? No.
Well, now, so if we can keep the U.S. What I'm thinking, perhaps what's going to save the Yazidis then is not so much the U.S. as perhaps a United Nations peacekeeping force in Kurdistan. Is that? Do you think that would be better for protecting the Yazidis?
Well, no, the best way and the best solution would be creating the province in Nineveh as a separate administration for the minorities, where the minorities live, like the Yazidis and Kildare Syrian and Sabian. This would be the best solution for the safety of the minorities in Iraq.
So, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen, though.
25 of the Iraqi constitution, they do give rights to regional administration, but unfortunately, why the Yazidis and Kildare Syrian are the greater number in Mosul, they try, but they don't give it to them. So why isn't U.S. telling the Iraqi government, like, the Iraqi government is working against their own constitution?
Mm-hmm. Right.
To follow the rules in the constitution.
Right, but you don't have adequate representation in the Iraqi parliament. Isn't that the problem?
Yeah, that's the problem, that they don't give it to us.
Right.
During the election, I know some people, and one of them live in Canada now, and there are many I know in Iraq. During the election, the one person could just check mark their representative of choice, like they could check mark more than 500 election tickets. So what kind of democracy was that? And we told the election observer, we told the High Commission of Iraqi Election, nobody said anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Yazidis did not get any like adequate representative. So the Yazidis should get at least 7 seats and more, which according to Iraqi, the constitution of Iraq, for the minorities, every 100,000 votes, they should have one representative. But unfortunately, that did not apply to the Yazidis. And U.S. know that, and UK know that, and UN know that.
Right. So it doesn't look like that you're going to have your own separate territory for the Yazidis in the near future. So in the near future, it looks like what you need is a peacekeeping force there to stay after the U.S. troops withdraw. So this is how people around the world can help you, right? By helping to make that happen.
Yes, but we don't want U.S. to withdraw from Iraq. We don't want U.S. Right. withdrawal from Iraq.
So
we believe we believe this one is going to be a big mistake if U.S. withdraw from Iraq.
Okay. Well, what I've been encouraging people to do, as you know, is I've set up UZETITruth.org so the people can download a form letter, and then they can cut and paste it. They cut it out. They can go on to the website of their congresspeople, and every congressperson has their own website. They can paste it into the area they've provided for emails, and send it to their congresspeople. Basically, the form letter says that the Yazidis are under attack, and it'll be genocide if there's a complete U.S. troop withdrawal. We also have a form letter for the president. So everyone in America, everyone in the states can go to ZETITruth.org, download a form letter for Obama. He also has a website, and so you can email this letter to him. These are the things that we can do, but you have to email it to your own state representatives. You can't email it to any other state. It's only the representatives for your own state that are going to take any notice of it. So this is what we can do in America right now. This is the options that we have. We don't have a lot of options, but this is something that we can do. And if enough people were to send letters to their congresspeople, possibly we can make a difference. So this is what we can do right now. This is the option we have.
Your help and support greatly appreciated by the Yazidi Human Rights International and also by the Yazidis in Iraq. I have talked to many of my colleagues in Iraq and in U.S. You are doing a great help and support to the Yazidis, Mark. And at the same time, I did give the website to many of my friends in the United States, and I know many of them, they did send that letter to their member of Congress.
Excellent, excellent. Is there anything else that you're doing as part of the Yazidi Human Rights International now to help the Yazidi people that people around the world can get involved with?
Well, I think the people, especially the American people, could involve and could make a great change in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
I think by supporting the Yazidis, TV station would be the best tool to understand the news about the Yazidi, the real news about the Yazidi.
Okay, so how can people support the Yazidi television station?
A TV station would be best, and we hope we could get like financial support from the American people to build a TV station in Iraq and at the same time in U.S. so that the U.S. the American people could see what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the American people don't see even like 5% of the news what's going on against the Yazidis and Kildor Syrian and Sabia in Iraq.
Do you have a page in your website where people can donate to this TV station?
No, I haven't made it, but if you could do it, the page would be easy to make it.
Well, then, perhaps both of us should work on having a donation page on our website so that people can donate to this television station.
And the other thing, I think there are many. Most of Americans are a strong support for the human rights. I know that, and by that, I think would be also a very good help and support of those Americans who are passionate about the human rights and human freedom could protest for the Iraqi minorities, for their rights and their freedom.
Well, I know the German government, I read on your website, is donating now $200,000 to help in the restoration of Ley List. Are there any other governments around the world that are stepping forward to help the Yazidis now?
No, not yet. Not yet. We hope Canada and U.S. be a part of the same plan. But unfortunately, we haven't seen anything yet.
Hmm. Okay. Can you say any other way that people in the United States or people around the world can help the Yazidis right now? Is there any other way that you can think of?
The best way is by sending letter to their representative, to congressmen and to senators, to implement the Article 125 in the Nineveh province. And
okay.
This is legal and should be easy for United States to implement that article and press the Iraqi government to accept the reality and their own constitution, the rules of their own constitution. So when the province is created for a separate administration or a ghetto, would be a very helpful for the survivor of the Yazidis, Kildor, Syrian, and Sabia in Iraq. Because this regional, what they call disputed area, we are the victim of both sides. We are in the middle between the Arabs and the Kurdish. Wherever they attack, we are the one who loses human being.
Right.
They don't, but we are the one who loses human being.
So now there's no plans for Gamal or any other Yazidi leader to come to America, to go to Washington or United Nations?
I still request the help. If they can come, would be great. So that doesn't matter. If I don't go, the Yazidi will stop. So I hope that they can come and we all could go together, including you. We could go to Washington to meet officials and explain the real situation, what the Yazidis are facing today.
That would be excellent. Excellent. Well, keep in touch. Let me know if that's going to happen. Certainly I would like to help any way I can, and there are other people I know that would also like to help.
Because as you know, like just since this past month until now, there are many attacks, about three attacks against the Yazidis.
Right, recent ones, right.
Yeah, the recent one. And we don't know, like, was on September 19th, as you mentioned in your website or Facebook, a Yazidi holy man in Kanasur village, north side of the mountain. His house was raided by Iraqi government called Rapid Reaction Brigade, and the head of the family got killed. He was shot in the head. His son badly got injured, and the rest of the family were tasered and handcuffed. There was no explanation issued by the Iraqi government. So when something like that happened, it's the KRG who's telling the Iraqi government that there are terrorists there. But who are the terrorists? If I am sitting in my home and want to identify myself as a Yazidi, neither Kurdish or Arab, so am I a terrorist? Or am I should be considered a terrorist? So that's what this is. This is a plan between the KRG and the central government when the attacks against the Yazidis are supported by both sides. And they find an excuse, this was a bad man, or this one has some connection with the terrorists. So who are the terrorists? The real terrorists are the KRG officials and its militia controlling the Yazidis region by force, illegally.
Mm-hmm.
Sinjar
right.
is a part of Mosul governorate.
What?
But they're occupied by KRG and its militia. The security forces, the checkpoint, the military forces are from KRG. So what the KRG are doing there, we don't know. Why they do force the Yazidi to annex the Yazidis region into Kurdistan, we don't know. So the Yazidis region and the other minorities should be a separate region. Should be free from the KRG militia and then the other extremists. So when we have our own security forces, police forces, and military forces, believe me, there's not going to be any attack against the minority. They would be able to protect themselves. When a terrorist or a gang come through the checkpoint, they say we're going to kill the Yazidis, the militia just opened the gate for them and says, okay, so you're going to convert them or you're going to scare them so that they can convert. If you don't scare them, they're not going to convert. So the U.S. know that plan is going on, but the U.S. does not want to do anything now. We don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Well, so if people want updates on what's happening with the Yazidis, they can find it on your website.
And also the other, on September 24, three Yazidi men were kidnapped by terrorists between the two Yazidi villages, Al Jazeera and Skenia villages. It's only about 10 kilometers between the two villages. So the terrorist organization had a checkpoint in between the two villages. The three were captured. They killed one, and then they asked for the first time, they asked for $3 million for the release. And then after they found out that there's no way they can get that money, one of them was released. His name was Kasper, was released within $100,000. The other was Sado. He was released with $20,000. And then the other one was killed, and the terrorist group asking the family to $10,000 for his body, to get his body. And then the family said, like, we don't have it. You already killed him. We pay you. So we don't know what's going on. And then no government involved in this situation. So if the government does not involve, which means like the government is a partner in this terrorist actions. That's
right,
what we believe.
Right. Well, these atrocities have been going on, as Mirza said, weekly for years.
A group of Yazidis workers got attacked by Kurdish in the city of Sulaymaniyah. Six of them was stabbed with a knife and were badly injured. There was a problem. A woman was stoned in the waist by an Arab worker. And then later on, one of the contractors ordered one of the Yazidi to be a translator between the woman's family and then the Arab worker. And after there was a gathering, and then they attacked the Yazidi. So these are a plan. Plot by KRG and its militia to create a hate, a discrimination between the Yazidis and Arabs so that the Yazidi would have no choice to accept the Kurdification.
So I've been hearing about these atrocities for years, and it really amazes me that they can continue to go on and the world just stands by and doesn't lift a finger. So, as we've been telling you during this this show, the thing that you can do, especially if you're in the States, go to YazidiTruth.org, and you can download a couple form letters that you can then go onto the websites of your congresspeople, President Obama, and then you can email these form letters to them. And hopefully we can get something done. If the troop withdrawal proceeds as scheduled and there's a complete withdrawal at the end of this year, that could lead to major consequences for the Yazidis and you know, a lot of extermination of the Yazidis, which would be such a tragedy. These people, as you've heard in this show, are extremely ancient. They have incredible history. They know things that nobody else on this planet knows. Or they see things. They hear things. I mean, the peacock angel is real. I experienced it a lot myself. It's real. This is really true stuff. We need to do whatever we can to help these people. And so please do what you can and send the letters to your congresspeople. Visit YazidiTruth.org to learn more about the Yazidis and the peacock angel, and also visit YazidiHumanRights.org to find out more about these Yazidis and what you can do to help them. And so we're going to do what we can, Mirza, and thank you so much for being on the show and telling us more about the history and the current plight of the Yazidis.
Thank you very much, Mark, for having me on your show, and also my special thanks to your community, and my special thanks to all my American friends. And I urge you all to do something for the Yazidis and other minorities in Iraq to be able to survive and continue their ancient traditional and cultural and faith in the
thank
future.
You, thank you so much, Mirza. And we'll
thank
be talking to you.
So much.
Okay, well, that was Mirza Ismail, the Yazidi leader in Canada. And I think we have, through this show, hopefully alerted you to the plight of the Yazidis, and you're really inspired to do whatever you can to help them. Okay, so that's today's show, and we'll be back in a couple weeks with another very interesting and inspiring guest. And in the meantime, remember, if you're looking for the Holy Grail, all you have to do is turn your gaze inward, and you'll find it right inside your own heart. So bye for now.